Can you even run ads on your stuff? I mean, with the censorship these days.
I know, they're bad.
They don't, if you mention God, you mention pro-life, they hate you.
Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Destiny Peterson. I have with me today Joy Villa. She is a recording artist and actress whose EPA, I Make the Static, shot to number one on iTunes and Amazon. That's amazing.
And Billboard.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Were you surprised when it shot up like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a dream come true. Being an independent artist, you know, having sold over 30,000 copies of a three-year-old album. I made the album in 2014.
Really?
So when I walked that red carpet, so many people aligned with my values, and they just, boom, started buying it like gangbusters. And it actually was higher sales than Lady Gaga, Adele, you know, Rihanna, Bruno Mars, everyone that week.
Wow.
So I'm proud of myself.
And so you had no idea that that was going to happen when you made it.
No.
How did you find out? Oh, your music shot to the roof today. How did you find out?
My friends started texting me. It was like in the middle of the night. And I, you know, I did the Grammys, and obviously I saw a lot of sales came in through my website where they were buying my album. And that was incredible.
Right.
And people were sending me emails and like, hey, I support you. Thank you so much. So there was a lot of love coming in to kind of to combat the hate that came in later.
Right.
The death threats and all that stuff. You know, the usual.
Yeah.
But suddenly, my friends started texting me, you're number 6 on the charts. Or no, they said, you're number 12. You just passed Drake. I was like, what? What are you talking about? They're like, yeah. So then I started texting all my friends, hey, buy this album and, you know, doing more promotion to sort of get it up. And it was predicted by Billboard that I would hit number 10 in the top 200. I ended up falling at number 12 in the
top
200 albums that week. I only had 4 days to sell what most people had 7 days to sell. So
that is,
I mean, it was a blessing. I mean, it's my fans supporting me. So
right on.
I'm grateful.
You are known for wearing those different dresses at the award shows and things like that. And I think the first one I saw you in was one with, I guess, Donald Trump on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Great White Hope.
Yeah.
And so...
The Great White Hope.
What made you decide to do that, and how was you treated? Was that, what type of award was that?
So that was the Grammy Awards.
The Grammy. Mm-hmm. How were you treated there at the award itself?
At the actual awards? Yeah. So first, I decided to make this dress. I worked with the designers, and it's Andre Soriano. He's a gay immigrant, and we had known each other, and he knew I was a Trump supporter, and I was a closeted Trump supporter because I had kind of supported Bernie.
Yeah,
I was more on the left, right? I walked away. So, but I was also like, I don't want to alienate my fan base because it was such divisive times in 2016.
Absolutely.
And I had voted for Trump already. But when they started hating on him, Madonna saying she wanted to blow up the White House, I was like, wait a second. If this is the Women's March, then I can say as a woman, as a black Latina woman who supports my president, that I support the president. So I decided to do a Trump dress along with the designer. We came up with the design, Make America Great Again on the front, Trump on the rump, and it was made out of an actual campaign
Trump
flag.
That's amazing. Yeah, and so you arrived and people, were they looking at you weird what was that like?
Well, if you remember, Jesse, I actually wore a white cover over that because I was scared to death of being just absolutely destroyed, mainly by the media.
Yeah.
And I didn't have media, you know, skills. Like, I had mostly talked about my music, and I had toured 25 countries, but it was nothing divisive.
Right.
So I was like, I'm not ready yet. Very different now, because I'll combat anybody, I'll debate anybody anytime on any of these issues. But I was like, I don't want to handle the media, not with a Trump dress. I'll do a big reveal at the end. So I did interviews, and like, you know, TNT Latino was like, oh, this artist came dressed in love, and we love her. I talked about love. I talked about support, you know, high vibration things that really this president is bringing to this country. And then at the end, I took it off, turned around, revealed what I was wearing, and all the photographers started cheering and clapping.
Really?
I mean, they got a payday out of
it. Wow, amazing,
Now, backstage, after I went off, I went to the bathrooms, you know, at the Grammys, and I got tons of, like, death stares. People just were looking at me like I was... like a monster.
Yeah.
And I was in the bathroom, and there was a well-known singer, pop star, which I don't like throwing people under the bus. It doesn't matter, right? But she was in the bathroom with me, and I was like, oh, your dress is so pretty. And I admire her and love her music, and she goes, ugh. Just like so exaggerated. And I was like, oh, okay, that's how it's going to be. But, you know, a lot of people came and took pictures with me, too, and they were secret. They were like, I love Trump, too.
A lot of people. They're afraid to let it be known. That's amazing. And then you wore another dress at another time.
Yes.
What was that about?
Yeah. At the next Grammys, I wore a pro-life dress.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided after a year of campaigning for Trump, I joined the Trump campaign for a while, was on Trump TV, and got to go to the White House. And I said, you know, this is a big issue for me. Now that I have this platform, I am staunchly pro-life.
Right.
And I shared my story to People Magazine, to Fox News, that I had been on a lot, you know, that year. And I said that and this is the truth, I was faced with an unplanned pregnancy. I was around 19 years old. And I was pressured to get an abortion. It was an abusive,
horrible
situation. No, I gave my child up for adoption.
Oh, yeah, I read that. You had the baby. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I know what I'm talking about when I talk about these pro-life issues and how women get pressured, especially young women. And, you know, we feel like we have no choice and no decision. We feel like the only decision is abortion. I tell women that's not your only decision.
That's right.
Because pro-choices are really pro-abortionists.
Yeah.
They don't want you to choose adoption or motherhood or any other avenue. So I'm here to say the opposite. So I wore Choose Life on my purse. I hand-painted it. I hand-painted a picture of a baby in the womb.
Amazing.
On a white wedding gown with a crown.
Why do they keep letting you in? I'm surprised they let you into these awards not knowing.
You know, maybe after this interview, they won't let me in anymore.
Well, that's good. They should let you in. But
exactly.
This is America. You can do what you want.
Exactly. Well, I'm a member of the Recording Academy and have been since 2015.
Oh, okay.
So I'm very, you know, active behind the scenes as well, advocating for musician rights and, you know, going to Capitol Hill and different things. So this is my community. I mean, I've been a musician since 2011 professionally.
Right.
And I've toured 25 countries. I grew up in musical theater. So this is who I am. Now, my political affiliation might have changed since then, but I'm still an artist working, living, thriving.
Right. Absolutely.
And if they were to cut me out, that would create bigger news. I think they'd love it. Yeah. Neil Portnow of the Grammys, he actually posted my red carpet appearance on the Grammys.com.
Oh, good.
Grammys has interviewed me recently, you know, as a black Latina artist. So, you know, they know I'm here and I'm here to stay.
You were... a Bernie Sanders supporter at first. Why were you a Bernie Sanders supporter?
You know, I was not educated. I'll be honest. When I was liberal, I was registered independent. I had voted for Obama, and I'd sort of gone away from my parents' upbringing, which my mom wasn't really political, but my dad was conservative. Fox News on the house all day, you know? And I was like, I want to be more like my peers. Because when you're young, everybody's liberal. These are the people fighting for people's rights, human rights, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, all this stuff.
I thought the same thing, too. Yeah.
And when you're a person of color, that's your scene.
Yeah.
You know, Ebony Magazine's talking about this. They're not talking about conservative women who are leading the torch, for freedom, which they are. So I was proselytized and desensitized to really values and morals. And I thought, well, yeah, Bernie Sanders, everyone was talking about Bernie. All of my musician friends, all my friends in the scene were all saying Bernie is the great white hope, right? The great free hope, free college.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want free, especially when you're a struggling musician?
Yeah.
And I mean, it lasted, that romance lasted only a couple weeks because I realized, oh, he's a socialist. And even at that level, I knew socialism was not good.
Good.
I was educated that much.
I want to go back to, so you got pregnant, you had your baby.
Yes.
And then you gave the baby up.
Well, adoption. Yeah, an open adoption was actually done while I was still pregnant.
Oh, really?
So I signed the paperwork when I was four or five months pregnant.
Was it hard for you to, once you had the baby, was it hard to just let him go like that?
Yes.
It was a boy or girl?
Girl.
Wow. Was it hard for you to let her go?
It was the hardest thing I've ever done in
because
my life.
I hear people say that. Why would you want a woman to have a baby and then have to put it up for adoption? But to me, that's better than killing
it's
a baby.
It's better than
in the
murder.
Womb.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what was it like for you once you had the baby?
It was a struggle. Like I didn't like being pregnant, to be honest. It was also a hard time. You know, the father had physically abused me. There was a lot of drugs in this relationship. We'd, you know, gone away and I went to go live with my dad and was just struggling with being pregnant, being young and knowing that this was not the right thing, but knowing that at least I had an out, you know,
praying
to God and knowing that this adoption would solve both of the issues. The baby can live her life and I can live my life. And I wasn't really thinking much about it while I was pregnant. But after I had that beautiful baby, I mean, you can't deny. Yeah. I could feel her life in me. Don't get me wrong. I knew she was in there.
Yeah.
But when she was in my arms, it was the most beautiful feeling. And to see her have to be handed to her adopted parents hours later, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
I can imagine.
It was so hard. But I know who she is today. She knows
who
I am.
How can I ask? Do you adoption. Know who she is? And,
yes.
And
she calls me Mama Joy.
Really? How old is she now?
I don't say her age. Oh, okay. I try to keep her identity, you know, because I get a lot of hate,
a lot of
death threats, a lot of rape threats. But and she's happy and healthy, and she's school age, so.
Oh, right on.
And, you know, we get regular updates. We Skype. I know her adopted parents. They wanted this open adoption.
Oh, good.
They wanted this relationship.
I'm glad about that. That's
me too.
Good.
Which was hard at first, but.
Yeah. At least you can see her and you know
exactly.
who she is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know that she's happy and healthy, and I could have destroyed her life.
Yeah.
Why? Out of convenience? Out of pain and suffering, out of wanting to pretend like it's going to make it disappear, which abortion never makes anything disappear. You just add more pain and hurt on top of the pain and
it
hurt.
It does. There was a woman called my show today,
yeah.
my radio show, and she had 12 abortions.
Oh, my God.
12. Isn't that something?
And a she poor was woman. She
said she was feeling so guilty she could hardly go on with life.
Yeah,
And she was trying to help other young girls know not to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
You do suffer for it.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So. I mean, that's the thing is once you've had it, nobody talks about that.
Right.
40% of all women, as soon as they have an abortion, have suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
40%. Yeah. And the rest, they're in denial.
They leave all that out.
They leave
that's
it
amazing.
Out. And if you're pro-choice, if you're, you know, a hardcore leftist, you can't even say, I regret my abortion. Because it's not a woman's rights.
No.
You can't even talk about
crazy.
That.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
You are Italian and Argentinian descent, right?
Yes.
And then your mother is Black and Native American. So
yeah.
you're the whole world.
I'm the whole world. I'm United Nations.
We are the world.
We are the world right here.
So.
I can repopulate the planet with my DNA.
I'm telling you.
An apocalypse.
Who do you identify with? Black or Italian or Argentina?
This is such a good question because I'll tell you, it's like it's a multifaceted journey. And I think every person of color kind of goes through this. I'm mixed and I've always identified as mixed growing up.
Right.
Even when President Obama was president, my dad would say, you know, he's mixed like you. Of course, he never identified as mixed. He's like,
no.
I'm blacker than black,
black,
and Black Lives Matter. That could have been my son. And it's sort of like this weird thing that where if you're a mixed person of mixed ethnicity, you have to identify as one or the other. And it's usually the one you look like more, the one you were raised with. Well, everybody knew my mom was brown and my dad was light-skinned, right? He looked more white, Italian, Argentinian. And I was like, that's my dad and my mom.
Right.
I'm who I am.
Yeah.
I would draw myself. I have the gold crayon. I put brown and yellow. I'm gold. My dad's more pink and my mom's more brown. It doesn't matter what the ethnicity is. But growing up, people would constantly tell me, what
I'm
are you?
I'm going to ask you about that, yeah.
What are you?
Yeah.
Are you black? Are you white? You got a Latin last name. You speak Spanish. You know, I'd be rejected by the Latino kids. I'd be rejected by the, you know, black kids. I wasn't black enough to the white kids. I'm super black. You know, I mean, it was crazy. So I just said, you know what? These people, it's their problem. It's their ignorance, not mine. I know who I am.
Did you get beat up in school?
No.
Either by the black girls or the
Latino girls? I'm 5'10". Nobody tried to mess with me.
Oh, yeah.
I've been tall since I was young. No, I was the nerdy, artistic kid. I would draw and paint, and I was always tall, so people wouldn't mess with me. But they would make fun of me, you know? Oh, you play basketball? How's the weather up there? But they would kind of stay away. I was very quiet, very introverted. Grew up very, very Christian, very strict Christian.
So you're a Christian now?
Yes.
I read that you were Scientology at one time.
Yeah, I'm Scientologist as well.
Oh, you're Scientology now?
Yes.
And Christian?
Yes.
So you could be a Christian Scientologist?
You can.
Really?
Yeah, because Christianity is a faith-based religion, right?
Right.
My faith and trust is in Jesus Christ,
right.
God, and going to heaven after I die. Scientology is a workable philosophy. So you study, you know, communication courses and different things like that.
Because I read, in preparing for this interview, I read that you were a Scientology and that they helped you to overcome a lot of your insecurities.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
How did they help you do that?
Well, it helped me find that I have to take responsibility for my life. And I used to drink. I used to do drugs. I used to be living in this Hollywood scene. You know, my parents passed away when I was very young. You know, they both are gone. And having my stability kind of ripped away from me.
Yeah.
And wanting to also rebel against being a preacher's kid. My dad was a preacher.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
What
so
is it
I
like
went
being
all
raised
the way the
by
other way.
A preacher man?
It was amazing, but it was also very strict. You know,
yeah,
it was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And I had to get straight A's in school. It was, you know, you do well in school, which I did. You come home, you clean the house, and you zip your lip. You don't complain. We do Bible studies, and that's it.
Wow.
It was very, very strict.
Yeah.
But at the flip side, even though I ended up rebelling for a few years,
yeah,
I ended up going back to that moral background. You know, train up in a child the way they should go, and when
that's
they
right.
grow older, they will not depart. And I had to find my way, and I had to find a less strict version for me, but it was still based on those morals. So for me, growing up, taking responsibility for my life, realizing communication and saying I'm sorry and being humble and being educated, like that's the journey I've been on.
And that's what Scientology helped you to overcome?
It helped me. It helped me on that journey, absolutely.
Have you met Tom Cruise or any of those guys over there?
I haven't met. I wish I knew Tom Cruise. I mean, I've seen him, but, you know, he's a huge movie star.
Do you go to the one in Hollywood?
Yes, Liberty Center here in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so have you heard that song, The Only Girl Who Can Ever Please Me Was the Daughter of a Preacher Man?
Yes.
You heard that song?
I have. The only one who could ever please me
was
the son of a preacher man.
That's
yes, he was. Yeah. Dusty Springfield, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Such
it's older than dirt now. But so, like, I don't understand the difference between being a Scientologist and a Christian. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that, you know, Christianity, we know what Christianity is.
Right, we know.
And, you know, faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Right.
God is the Father. You know, when you die, you go to heaven. Scientology is a philosophy. You learn about how this world works. Like, people, are they lying to you? You can tell if they're going to, you know, backstab you. You learn different ways to tell somebody's behavior based on the way they speak. So speaking patterns, and you learn to, you know, deal with your finances. You learn to take responsibility and learn to, really, communication was the biggest thing. Being
so
a performer.
It's like going to school?
It's like school. It's like it's like a philosophy, almost a spiritual college. And it doesn't say anything about, like, most Scientologists believe in God, but it's not going to tell you what God or how to believe in God.
I got you.
So there's people of all different faiths that practice Scientology. So I've been practicing for 8 years. It's honestly changed my life for the better. I love
That's
it.
Good.
Yeah.
That, do you know Amir Lanegro?
Oh, you had her on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you know her?
She's a black Latina singer, reality TV star. I don't know her.
Oh, okay.
I think she's beautiful, though.
I enjoy talking to her.
Yeah, I think she's wonderful.
Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
I do. I believe that, right, especially right now,
yeah,
that we are in a place where morals don't matter.
Yeah.
Spiritual integrity doesn't matter. Integrity in any way doesn't matter. It's sort
right.
of like, do what you want. It's very hedonistic.
Yeah.
And that's destroyed this country
they
and
sure
destroyed
have.
This
yeah.
world. But they started taking God out of schools. You know, this country was built on Christian, Judeo, religious beliefs. It's an institution of, we believe in God, we believe to respect the rights of man, individual rights. And all of a sudden it's like, no, do what you want. There is no God. And I don't believe in that. That's
yeah.
what has ended the civilization. I wouldn't say it ended it, because we're still alive. We're still here.
Yeah, we have a chance.
But we're fallen for sure.
I've noticed that I'm a conservative Republican to the bone, all the way.
I love it. Yeah.
And
for a long time too, right?
One of the reasons I became a conservative, because I was a Democrat, and God changed my heart. And then I realized that I read the platform of the Democratic Party. I'd never read it before that.
Yeah.
And
isn't
I realized
that,
funny
how you don't really research when you're a Democrat.
I just took everybody's word for it, you know.
Yeah,
and I realized that they were anti-God, anti-family, anti-unborn children, weak military. They went against everything that God was about, or they go against it.
Yeah.
And then I read the Republican platform. It was about freedom and Constitution and family and God and all that.
Yes.
So I became Republican. But I noticed over the years that Republicans don't deal with more issues anymore. They don't bring up abortion and really fight against it as though they're afraid to or something. Or they don't deal with so-called same-sex marriage and all that. I noticed that there's this guy by the name of, he's a Democrat out of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I think his name is Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg or something. Buttigieg or something.
Buttigieg. Buttigieg. I don't know.
See, I'm not the only one.
Oh, It's going to be on CNN after this airs. homophobic slurs.
No, it's crazy.
Because we're black, we're not safe anymore. We're also racist, homophobic, whatever.
Anybody that's against what's wrong.
We're not Nazis. Crazy.
But I noticed that he kisses some guy in public. You know,
yeah, well, he's married. He's a gay married man.
That's his husband. He said it's his husband.
Yeah.
And then this black lesbian out of Chicago. Have you seen her? Lesbian! Have you seen her?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God.
Wait, Stacey Abrams?
Uh-uh.
No, is this her name? She's not lesbian, is she?
What's the black lesbian name?
I haven't even heard of her.
Laura Lightfoot.
Lightfoot.
Yeah, I bet her foot. It's like, but no. But Lord Lightfoot, she took the place of the Emmanuel, or whatever. She won the last election.
Okay, in Chicago.
And she's supposed to be married to a woman, right? And they were kissing at the inauguration of swearing her in.
Yeah.
And then abortion. Now you can kill the baby if you decide.
No,
along your way to
like.
The hospital, you can kill the babies. But I don't really hear the Republicans saying, no, this is wrong. This is what this person stands for. Because if you don't have morals, if you don't believe in God, you don't really have a solid foundation.
Right.
Your house is built on sand.
That's right.
Why are they leaving all that out?
Well,
I mean, it's so important for the kids and stuff.
I agree. I mean, in morals, like, we can all agree. Even people are like, well, I don't believe in your religion or whatever. That's fine.
That's right.
But morals, you can be an atheist and have morals.
Why they don't?
Values and integrity. But I think the Republicans are fighting against abortion. I mean, I know. I'm one of the most outspoken conservatives out there.
I'm talking about the politicians, though. I know you do.
You're right
about
the politicians,
you're on it about
though.
It. But
you're
like the politicians that we hired to represent those values and represent the country.
Except
what are they
Trump,
afraid of?
They're very
weak. Oh, yeah, the great white hope is not.
That's why he's such a, like, badass. Like, he came in swinging with the
club. Yeah,
getting rid of everybody who was fake, all the rhinos, everyone. He woke me up. I was like, wait. This is the presidential candidate. I have to vote for this guy. He's different.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, Republicans and Democrats have been almost two sides
the
of the same coin for
the
years.
Same. Yeah.
Reagan was a great man.
Yeah.
And then JFK was a great man on the other side. Everybody else has just
been downhill,
soggy and the same. They're afraid because they want votes.
Yeah, that's
they're
what,
career
yeah.
politicians. Trump is not a career politician.
No.
He had a career before. Yeah. He'll have a career after.
Yeah.
And he built his own billions. He built his own empire. But these guys, they come in. They never did really anything. They never took responsibility.
Right.
But they want to be a politician.
That's right.
That's their goal. And if your goal is to be a politician, like AOC, then you're going to be a failure.
Yeah.
Period. You're going to be weak. You're going to say whatever they want you to say. You're going to be flip-flopping here and there. Unfortunately, many of them have. But I think it's time for us to really vote in new people.
I absolutely agree. I noticed that. Are you for the wall going up? The big, beautiful wall?
Have you seen my dress at this year's Grammys?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
So I did a new dress design by Desi Designs. And it is a white dress with bricks on it. And it has some of the barbed wire on the shoulders, Statue of Liberty spiked headpiece. On the back, it says, Build the Wall.
Right on. That's
why I wore this year's Grammys. Yeah.
Ooh.
And I actually had a metal, metal dress over it.
Yeah.
And then I took it off to reveal. But I talked. This was very different than my first Grammys in 2017. That's my first political Grammys.
Yeah.
I talked about the wall. I talked about it to Hollywood Reporter, to People Magazine, to everybody who would speak to me.
Yes.
I would speak to them. And some of them cut it off. Some of them got nervous. Everyone got nervous.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, listen, 1 in 4 women who are trying to get here illegally are sexually assaulted. Drugs like heroin are being trafficked into this country. Children are being human trafficked.
Yeah.
For sexual purposes.
But they don't care. They just want to vote.
They
don't care what's happening. They pretend to care about the women and children.
Yeah.
But they really don't.
Come on.
They want
the
vote. That's what's going on.
They were being caged under Obama. These are Obama policies. If they cared, they would have cared then.
That's right.
Trump says something
absolutely.
Like Trump even supported LGBT. He said, you know, there's a lot of LGBT people who've done great things. I support LGBT.
Oh, the other day he did, right?
Yeah,
the other day he
tweeted that. And he said, listen, but let's be thankful because many other people who are gay, trans, lesbian, whatever, in other countries will be murdered for it.
Yeah.
But in this country, we have this freedom. And I was like, what a good man. Yes, because I believe in human rights. So I just support LGBT. Not the politicizing of it, but I support people's right to be gay, whatever. As long as they're not hurting me.
I don't hold anything against them. We shouldn't hate anyone.
No. No, that's their choice.
I agree with the president when he said that he tried to get other countries not to kill them, throw them,
because we actually care about other nations.
First of all, we have no right to to who has the right to kill someone just because they're doing something you don't agree like that, you know?
Exactly.
Because we all have sinned, and some of us wake up and overcome it, so yeah. we have no right to. So
no,
I appreciate
right. yeah.
to kill someone or hate them for what they do.
Yeah.
So I agree with the president on that part.
Yeah.
I don't
that's
accept
wonderful.
It as a norm, but I definitely don't hold it as a personal thing.
And that's your
thing.
Right, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But, you know, a lot of the blogs, they say, Trump is now for gay rights,
I know they try to
but
say.
He's gaslighting, or he's they're hating him. Like
they
he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
That's right. Absolutely.
And they're just haters. They
Absolutely.
Just want to hate. They want to hold on to that hate.
I want to talk to you about racism.
Okay, let's talk about it.
I say that there's no such thing, and I grew up on a plantation in Alabama, and I say
wow.
there's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, Islamophobiaism, Debbie Dadism, or anti-Semitism.
Mm.
I say that is a warfare between good and evil.
Mm.
There are people who are serving good, children of God,
mm-hmm.
and there are those who are serving evil, children of Satan.
Ooh.
And that is a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
Either you hate or you love.
Mm.
It's just that way. If we knew that, if people
knew
that, then we can solve these problems.
I agree with
that. Because we understand it's a spiritual problem, not
That's
a
right.
physical problem.
That's right. That is so true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I was raised.
Yeah,
my dad
me
used to
too.
Tell me that all the time,
yeah.
right? That's why I didn't care if someone says, what are you? Are you black? Are
that's
you white?
Right.
Are you this? Are you that? I'm like, I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I'm Joy. Nice to meet you.
That's right.
Like, who are you? Not what are you?
That's
We're
right.
so concerned about this vessel that is made of dust and will go back to dust.
Yes.
It's nothing. This is how I happen to look. Great. And I love dressing it up, making sure it's healthy,
yep.
making sure I look good.
That's right.
You know, I love shiny, love being a woman, makeup, hair.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, this is what matters.
When I was growing up under the Jim Crow laws and the whole deal, not
yeah.
one time did I hear the word racism. It didn't exist.
Wow.
It was either right or wrong.
They're, yes.
They taught us there were good white people and bad white people. Good
yeah.
black people and bad black people is the God that you serve.
Mm.
That word only came about after the civil rights movement started.
Yeah.
And they wanted to use the people for their own personal gain. They wanted to be the leaders of the blacks. And they wanted to
mm-hmm.
put fear into the
Division.
Whites. Division. Yeah. So they made up these words to divide.
Yeah.
But as children of God, we're supposed to be one.
And, that's right.
But they divided that by making up these words, taking the fathers out of the homes and just
yes,
creating a mess.
Yes.
So we try to get people to understand the spirit about it. It's not about male or female
mm-hmm.
or black or white.
No.
It's the spirit,
That's
whether
right.
you're right or wrong.
That's right. Because we're spiritual beings.
Yes. Absolutely.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
we're spirits.
Absolutely.
And we're going to live for eternity.
Yeah.
So we got to make it right while we're here.
We need for more and more people to understand that too. And then the
yeah.
children of the lie won't be able to control us.
That's right.
By putting fear and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, because yeah. it's fear tactics.
Yeah, it is.
And people realize
tactics.
That. I have fans who are liberals, who are like, you know, really far left, and they start watching my live feeds and all my, listening to my music, hearing my lyrics, seeing that I'm smiling, I'm telling you, I love you, you're beautiful,
That's
you're
right.
a spiritual being. I tell my fans that all the time. You know, I have hundreds of thousands of fans, and they come on, they start hating, I say, no, we're going to be respectful.
That's right.
You can disagree with me, but in respect.
Exactly. How do your Christian friends treat you knowing you support LGBT kind of stuff?
Most of my Christian friends are fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, I have Christian friends who are like you, who say they don't agree with it.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and I let them have their right to disagree with it.
Yeah.
But they also know I support LGBT.
Right.
I mean, for me, I live in Los Angeles, and I'm in Hollywood. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
I'm around LGBT all the time. Now, I don't support necessarily the politicizing of LGBT.
Right.
But I have amazing friends like Brandon Strock of Walk Away who are gay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a difference between us. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about what matters
Dealing
to us.
With those
you know,
vision, yeah.
it's just like, I have a friend who's Asian. It doesn't matter. I don't care what body you're in or who you love or what you identify or what God you worship. As long as you're treating me with kindness, you're treating others with kindness. Because that's the biggest thing. I have people who identify as Christian and they'd be full of hate. I'm like,
yeah.
you're not like Christ.
Yeah, I see that a lot.
Christ hung out with the prostitutes.
Sure
he preached to them. He taught them.
Yeah.
He said, I love you. You're beautiful. No matter what you've been through.
Yeah.
That's why, like, even in the abortion context, like, women who've had abortions, we can't be hating on them.
That's right.
Like, oh, you're a baby murderer. They know what they've done.
That's right.
They want love. They need forgiveness.
Absolutely.
You know?
I've noticed that straight, white, conservative Christian men.
Oh, the devil.
Are the most hated.
Are
the most hated men on this side of heaven.
So true.
And yet, The people who hate them, the people of color and those who hate them, they come into a white country because they're leaving their country and they come into their white country.
Right.
And they are hating the people who allow them to come in and live, right?
And it's the majority. Is it 75% white?
Something like that.
America
is. I'm encouraging them now to have more white babies. We need white babies.
I think this is, like you said, a fear tactic with a vision. Somebody's getting rich off of this.
Yeah, somebody
put people against each other. Racism. Man, black against white. Yeah. Man against woman.
Yeah.
You know, this against that.
That is somebody making money off that.
Someone's making money. Muslim against Christian. Someone's selling. And like you said, back when it started politicizing it, I can be the leader of the blacks.
Yes.
So to be the leader of the blacks, I gotta separate them.
That's right.
I gotta separate them from everyone else. Tell them that you're different, that they hate you. It's the us versus them mentality.
That's right.
When you look at the world, when you look at any place, you walk outside, you go to a restaurant, people of all different colors, shapes, and sizes are talking freely.
Yeah. How should white people deal with this hatred of them? Because when they do deal with it, they're called white supremacists, they're called all kind of bad names. So a lot of them back away from it because they don't want to be called names, right?
Right.
How would you recommend that they deal with the false accusations and things like that being hated for something they're not guilty of?
I think they should really preach the truth and say, listen, you don't even know who I am. You're judging me based on skin color?
Yeah.
MLK said, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Like, we literally fought a civil war. We fought, you know, civil discourse. We had the whole, the civil rights campaign was what? To be equal,
that's
not
right.
better than.
That's right.
So that is racism no matter what. Whether you're saying white people are inferior, black people are superior, guess what? That's also racism. Hate, a.k.a. hate.
Yeah.
So if you're going to hate me for the color of my skin just because I'm white, you don't know who I am.
That's right.
Judge me for the content of my character. If I was a white person, that's what I would tell people. It's the same thing I would tell people as my color I am now. My husband's white. He's as white as it gets.
Your husband's white?
He's from Denmark.
You married to
man? I'm married to a white man. Blonde hair, blue
eyes. What is that like?
Well, he is the devil. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you tell him that sometimes?
I tell him that. I say, shut your white ass up. Get me some coffee. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's the sweetest, amazing man. And when I met him, we didn't talk about politics a lot because we've been married for we've been together for 6 years, married for two.
Wow.
And when we met, it wasn't the whole Trump campaign thing. It was no politics. He's an artist. He's a photographer. But as I turned conservative, basically went back to my conservative roots, I started red-pilling him, showing him Trump speeches. And, you know, Denmark is like very socialistic and like removed, you know, kind of removed from God, removed from anything that America kind of deals with.
Yeah.
He is now totally red-pilled, pro-Trump, hates the Clintons, super pro-life.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Are you surprised you married a white man?
Not at all.
Really?
Because I dated all different colors.
I was going to ask, have you dated like blacks and Latinos and other?
I dated all different colors. Asians. I want the buffet. I want to try a little bit of everything.
Which one you like? Well, I guess you like the white one best. You married that one.
I like my vanilla man. I mean, it's based on the content of character, right?
Yeah,
it's not about. But what I don't like is in some certain like cultures. Like I didn't marry an American man. I love American men.
Right.
But like with your ministry, there's not enough American men that are alphas.
Right.
There's so many betas.
I'm going to ask you about betas.
I would be around and be like, these guys, I'm walking all over them.
Yeah.
That's not sexy. I want a man to tell me what to do sometimes.
Beta
to tell
male.
Me no. To tell me, honey, I'm the man in the house.
Right on.
Because that makes me a stronger woman.
That's right.
And I was raised a very traditional. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was the head of the household. But my dad bent over backwards to provide for my mom and my family.
Right on.
So he was serving her, but by being a leader.
I tell the men all the time that if they overcome being a beta male, the ladies would follow them. You know,
100%.
But you gotta overcome being weak.
Yes. The guys were like in the corner, like, oh, I don't know. Ask a girl out. Go up to her. Ask for her number. Say, I'd like to take you to dinner. Not drinks, not coffee, not let's hang out. That's all beta BS. I'd like to take you to dinner. And then actually take her to dinner. Treat her like a lady. Pull the chair out. Like, dress up, pick a nice place.
Well, they're not sure now if they should pull the chair out or open the door because later they've been accused of sexual harassment.
Surely.
He tried to open the door for me.
He called me a woman. Yeah. That's so sexist. He called me attractive.
Yeah, so the men are not certain now what to do.
But that's their problem. They're raised by weak men or weak women.
Yeah.
Because if I have sons, I raise a man to be a strong man,
right on.
An alpha male. An alpha male is not this toxic masculinity. You know, alphas
that's
get
right.
a bad
not
name.
That. That's right.
Right? Alpha's like, oh, I'm in the gym.
That's not it either. No.
Do what I say. You know? That's not an alpha guy. That's a jerk.
I'm
that's
glad
actually more
you
of a beta.
Reminded a man that women prefer a strong man rather than a beta male.
My husband is a strong man.
Right on.
I mean, he has wide shoulders that he has a lot of responsibility on them.
Yeah.
And when we talk, like, we have this respect. At the end of the day, I know my husband will do anything for me, but if he believes against it, he's going to say, no, honey, I'm not going to do that. Or I'm not going to say that.
Right
I try
on.
To get him to come here. He's like, nope, I'm going to edit my photos. I'm not coming with you.
Right
like,
on.
He's a strong man.
That's cool.
Can't get him to do anything he doesn't want to do.
That's amazing. You heard about this guy, this motivational speaker that's been accused of being Tony Robbins. He's been accused
Tony
of...
Tony Robbins has a sexual assault allegation?
Yeah,
oh,
it's all over.
No.
Several women have come out now and accused him of sexual misconduct or something they call it.
Yeah.
And then there are some, I think, other women who have accused him of being a racist because what he used to do is to try to help black people overcome the word, the N-word, right?
Yeah.
So he was saying, it shouldn't matter what people call you. It's just a word.
Yeah.
And he tried to show them how to overcome it. And back in those days when they were when he was teaching them those not to be bothered by words, and I agree with him.
Yeah.
People appreciated him for saying that. Years later, now they call him a racist, a woman hater, and all that stuff.
Oh. So it sounds like some phony baloney then.
Yeah.
Because if that's what they're citing.
As a matter of fact, one woman did a video or something said, no, it's not true. He didn't do that to me.
Mm.
You're wrong about that. How should men deal with the allegations of sexual harassment? Or how should they be around women, especially when they're alone with mm-hmm. women? How should they deal with that stuff?
Well, this is the unfortunate thing is there are men who do these things, right? Who sexually harass women, who inappropriately touch women. And if you're a man who doesn't do that, which is most men, there's a small portion that's kind of destroyed it for the rest of good men.
Right.
But if you're a good man, don't be afraid to be a good man.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid
that's
to
right.
say, hello, look women in the eye. It's okay to put a hand on the shoulder. You know when you're being inappropriate. Don't feel like, oh, I can't compliment a woman because she might take it the wrong way. That's going to be extra weird.
Yeah.
Don't be weird about it because just because they make it weird. So make a woman feel comfortable. Be like, hi, you know, you want a friend to come here if you're alone? I mean, I don't know. There's certain instances where women will go to places and they'll be alone in a room. And if I was a guy, I would say, I don't want you to be alone in this room with me for my protection. Saying it that way.
What happened to women used to be stronger when I was growing up? So for
women
example,
used to slap guys if, when they
right.
do something
if
like
a
that.
Man touched her the wrong way, you know, hit her on the butt or whatever,
yeah.
right? She's like, if you don't take your head off me, I'm going to cut the hand off.
Yeah.
She didn't call it sexual harassment, and she understood the man and woman dynamics, and
yeah.
but they stood up for themselves without having to do all the divide like
I mean,
they're doing now.
I'll tell you because
why
I've been
why are women
in,
so yeah. weak now that they need laws, they need this, and they
well,
don't stand up anymore?
It's that's a slippery slope because I think some women do get taken advantage of. You know, it's
but
happened
why
to me
would
before.
It take
they, I mean, men can overpower women. We
in
know
what way,
men are
for
more
example?
Physically strong.
In what way?
Well, I mean, it just happens. A man can, you know, rape is real. Like, I don't think that sexual harassment.
Yeah, there
rape
are rape happening sometimes.
These things
but,
really happen. But in the end, also, there's this flip side where he looked at me weird and he couldn't tell I was uncomfortable, so then he sexually harassed me. Like, that's extreme. If you don't, you have to say, no, stop, I'm getting out of here, this is not okay.
Right.
And if a woman says that to a man, speak up for yourself. Women have to be raised to kick, bite, scream, yell, do whatever you have to do. That's what my dad taught me.
They were always raised that way. Women knew how to handle situations.
Like, don't be afraid to punch a guy.
Right.
Don't be afraid to say, hey, I'm not comfortable. Stop, help. Like, you can yell and scream. Because it happens. The guys have done stuff, weird stuff where he puts a hand on my shoulder and I just move his hand. Right away.
That's right.
And he gets the idea. Now, if he tries to do it again, I get out of there.
Right.
I'm looking for exit. And it's also, there's two things. Women have to be responsible. Don't go to a hotel in the middle of the night. I don't care if it's a casting call. Don't put yourself in those situations. Women know, if you don't know this guy, don't do that. And men, don't have a woman come to your place. Even if you have no ill intentions, she could be trying to trap you.
That's right.
You have, but absolutely. Everyone's got to be responsible. And it happens to guys too. Guys get sexually harassed.
Yeah.
We all just have to be responsible human beings. Take a friend with you. I grew up modeling. I always had a friend with me on casting calls.
Right.
It wasn't my parents, it was a girlfriend with me. Have a witness, and that's a man, if you gotta protect yourself, women these days might be trying to get at you, and you don't sleep with them, so then they say, oh, he tried to, when they're trying to get you. So evil is evil. I don't believe evil belongs only to white males.
That's right.
And all women are victims.
It's evil. Evil is evil.
Evil's
I work
evil.
With a lot of men around the world now, and so many have told me that when they were teenagers or even younger kids, they would have babysitters and things like that, and or if they knew a teenage girl and they were in their 11 or 12, that the teenage girl would have sex with them.
Oh, that's awful.
And a lot of men have gone through that.
Yeah.
What would happen if men start reporting all this stuff as sexual harassment? The war would be over with.
That is rape. That's sexual assault. Like, I mean, I draw the line at kids. If someone's underage, like, period, point blank, period, they
so
can't give consent.
So should men start reporting that kind of stuff?
Of course. The problem is we're trying to say men shouldn't report it, be a man, buck up. On the flip side, women are reporting it, so it looks like the statistic is skewed.
Right.
But it's happening
it's
a
happening,
lot.
I'm telling
to
you,
men.
It really is.
I think everyone should report it. Nobody should
but
be stopped
But women wouldn't
reporting.
Like it, though, if men start reporting it about them.
Well, like I said, evil's evil. If the woman's evil, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you can be a sexual assaulter, if male or female. You did something evil, it needs to be reported to the
That's
police.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to go public, but report it
right.
to the police. If you are a victim of sexual assault or crime, you deserve to be heard, you deserve to be believed, you deserve to go to the police
That
about
applies
it.
To men reporting women,
men,
too.
Men, women, yeah. whatever. Absolutely.
I got to ask, 2020 is coming up. We run out of time here.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you predict a second term for the president?
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. Yeah. I mean, who's running against him? We got Kamala Harris.
Oh, God.
We got Joe Biden. Oh, creepy Joe Biden, speaking of sexual assault. He's on video. I mean, they have nobody. They got 20,000 people.
And they're not
running.
Offering anything to the. They have nothing to offer.
They got nothing.
They're just name calling and.
Yeah.
And they're going after the president.
Yep.
That's all they've been doing
the
whole
Russia
time.
The Russia collusion is already falling Russia apart. There's no proof.
So they have nothing.
They got nothing. So meanwhile, we have this president who's built our economy, lowered unemployment for Black Americans, Latino Americans, for women, for young Americans. I mean, allowed us to flourish and prosper as Americans.
Yeah.
Not based on the color of our skin, not based on whatever.
That's right.
But just being Americans and loving this country, building this country up. And self-solvency and solutions where we take responsibility for ourselves and our families and our community. And that's this president. So he's going to get reelected like that easily.
Will you be campaigning for him?
Yes.
Right on.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he's going to win, too.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
be reelected.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We're out of time. I know you have a new song.
Yeah.
But tell the folks how to get it, the title, and how to get it.
So my pre-order is available now. It's called Freedom, Fight For It. And the song is about censorship, fighting the unnecessary censorship of free speech and conservatives on social media.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing song. I did it with a Black London rapper. His name is Flint Bedrock, and he's incredible. He's a Trump supporter. And it's called Freedom, Fight For It. The pre-order is available and wherever music is sold.
Oh, good. You're on YouTube now, right?
Yes,
how
I am
can
on
people
YouTube.
Listen to your podcast, right?
Yeah, I do a podcast. So, but you can go to Miss Joy Villa, Miss Joy Villa on YouTube. MISS Joy Villa.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank
my
you.
My final question for you.
Okay, yes.
Did you have fun?
Oh, I had so much fun.
Oh, thank you.
It's a blast. It's easy. I can keep talking to you. It's like talking to my dad.
Right on.
You remind me a lot of my dad.
Well, I appreciate you coming on so much, and I definitely wish you well.
Thank you.
I know we met at the Walk Away movement. What's such a nice movement, right?
Yeah,
to
it's
walk
beautiful.
Away
Brandon's
from the Democratic
did something
Party.
Something incredible.
Yeah.
So proud to be a part of it.
Right on. Me too. Thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, share, Sunny. And tweet and ring my bell. Ring the bell. Thank you all for your support, all right? I absolutely appreciate it. Thank you, Joy.
Thank you.
All right.
Next time on The Fallen State.
You look taller.
I look taller,
on
right?
TV. No, you're
on
short.
On TV?
Yeah.
But in reality, I'm short?
You're not short, but you're just so tall.
Yeah. I watched you on an interview with some lady the other night, and you look fatter on TV.
I feel like I'm trapped in a vortex of stupidity.
And so now you're coming out of your stupidity?
Hey, NAACP, come get this nigga, man!
Thanks for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.